The plane shook and dipped slightly, my fingers gripping the armrest so hard I could feel my nails digging into the fake leather. A soft ding sound filled the cabin as the seatbelt lights came on overhead. I hadn't taken mine off since we'd boarded, light or no light.
"Nervous flyer, eh?"
said the man next to me, a portly gentleman with thinning gray hair and a disheveled business suit.
"How can you tell?"
I asked him sarcastically and with a timid smile.
"Well, you're sweating bullets, white as a ghost, and gripping that armrest like someone's gonna try to rip you off of it."
"Yeah, I'm not great at the whole flying thing." He clapped me on the shoulder. I wasn't really okay with strangers invading my personal space, but I let it go. I had to spend another 4 hours next to this man, after all.
"You're not alone, my friend."
He laughed and held up his hand, exposing his fingernails. They'd been chewed to nubs.
"My nervous habit's chewing my nails. Every flight I wear them down to nothing."
I smiled and nodded, doing my best to look friendly. I honestly couldn't give a shit about this guy's nervous habits, especially not while the plane was still bouncing up and down. I heard something shift in the compartment above me and returned my gaze to the portly nail-biter. He was still smiling all friendly-like, as if he were waiting for a response. "Tom," I said, finally letting go of my armrest and watching my knuckles turn from white to a softer pink as I reached my hand out to the man. He reciprocated the gesture and wrapped his pudgy, clammy hand around mine, giving it a hearty shake.
"Jerry,"
he said jovially.
"What are the odds, eh?"
I raised an eyebrow, confused for a moment. Then I realized what he meant and let out a genuine chuckle.
That's pretty funny."
I meant it, but it still sounded disingenuous. I returned my gaze to the window on my right. I pondered for a second why I always chose the window seat on planes when I was terrified to my core of flying. I always regretted it. Still, the shade stayed up the whole flight. I looked out into the darkness, nothing surrounding us but clouds and shades of gray. The shaking finally stopped, and I did my best to let my body relax.
"So, why are you heading to London?"
Jerry chimed in again, thinking he'd made an in-flight friend. I turned my head back to his direction and looked down the aisle. The flight attendant was still rows and rows away from me. I needed a drink. Bad. "Job interview," I said. "I've always wanted to move overseas," and the plane shook again, hard this time. I watched the flight attendant lose his footing a bit and nearly knocked her drink cart into one of the passengers. The lights were dimmed in the plane's cabin, and I could swear I saw a flash of green light as the plane shook. I turned my head to look out the window again and saw nothing.
"Just a bit of chaff,"
I heard Jerry say next to me. I wasn't sure if he was reassuring me or himself. Suddenly, the intercom crackled to life.
"Hi, folks. This is your cabin speaking. We've had some heavy turbulence here, so we'd like to ask everyone to stay in their seats with their seatbelts fastened, and we'll try to break through this as quick as we can for you."
My hands returned to the armrests, and I watched Jerry sink his teeth into his thumbnail. The intercom came on again.
"All flight attendants to their seats, please."
I watched as the flight attendants did their best to calmly walk to their seats in the forward and back sections of the cabin and buckle up. None of them looked nervous, though, so I did my best to try not to panic. The plane continued to shake. The dim overhead lights briefly flickered as the plane took a dip that made my heart fly up into my throat.
"Just a little chop,"
I heard Jerry repeat, now convinced that he was certainly talking to himself. I thought to myself how much I would have preferred not to have a fellow flying phobic person sitting next to me in that moment. I moved my attention from him back to the window. Neither was a good option, but I really couldn't watch Jerry freak out right now. As I stared out into the dim, moonlit sky, I saw something. It was only a brief glimpse, but whatever it was massive and drenched in shadow. I caught only the tail end of it before it dipped below the clouds and out of sight. I pressed my face up against the window, hoping I could catch it again, but it was gone. I closed my eyes and tried to convince myself that my heightened fear was causing my eyes to play tricks on me. Suddenly, the plane rocked again. It was even harder this time. The cabin lights went off for a full 5 seconds as the plane shook more violently than it had yet. I heard a woman scream, a baby cry. A flight attendant called out, asking everyone to remain calm. I was not calm at all. My heart thumped at a mile a minute. The green light filled the darkened cabin, just like the flash from before. This time, it lasted longer, though. Maybe 10 seconds, before it was replaced, once again, by the normal white glow of the cabin lights. The rocking stopped, and the motion of the plane began to calm. The intercom came to life again.
All right, folks, it looks like we're through the worst of it. At this time, I would like to ask everyone to stay in their seats and keep their seatbelts fastened, though. Flight attendants will come by and check on everyone and take your drink orders in just a few moments.
I heard Jerry let out a huge wheeze next to me. Perhaps it was supposed to be a sigh of relief, but I couldn't really tell. Ah, crap, Jerry said, getting my attention finally. He was sucking on his thumb like he was trying to save the last few precious drops of barbecue sauce from a particularly good rack of ribs. What? I asked with a curious tone over a concerned one. I bit my finger, guess I chewed too far down, drew blood. I thanked whatever god existed for keeping him from taking the thumb from his mouth and showing me. That was not a sight I wanted to see. I turned my head back towards the window. The air outside had taken on a familiar green tint, something barely noticeable, but if you looked hard enough, it was there.
Gotta be careful about that, I said to Jerry via the window.
The massive black shape had returned. I could see it just below the surface of the clouds, not visible enough to tell what it was. My mind tried to reconcile it with something I understood. A blimp, not this high. At least I didn't think so. Whatever it was bigger than the 747 by a long shot and flying just below us.
What are you staring at?
I heard Jerry ask from behind me.
I'm not sure.
My voice was quiet and trailed off at the end of my sentence. I turned away from the window and back at Jerry, who was looking at me with wild, panicked eyes.
You're not sure?
His voice was a couple octaves higher on the word sure.
What do you mean you're not sure?
There's something. I trailed off as I stared back out the window looking for a sign of the shadow. It appeared to have dipped back below the clouds again. Never mind. It's probably just my eyes playing tricks on me.
Nerves,
he said again, putting his bleeding thumbnail back in his mouth.
Just a bad case of it.
A scream broke the quiet of the cabin and cut off Jerry at the end of his thought. Without removing my seatbelt, I strained upward to try and catch sight of what was happening. Jerry did the same, and I could see just about every passenger in my row trying to catch a glimpse of what was going on. I heard thrashing around 5 or 6 aisles ahead of me, and then saw a man spill out into the aisle, gripping a blonde girl by the hair. He was screaming at her, but I couldn't make out the words. Several other men got up and tried to restrain him. He fought hard against them, too. I saw one take an elbow to the face, another a kick to the knee. I nearly removed my seatbelt, but before I had the chance, the plane rocked again. All the people standing in the aisle lost their footing and fell, slamming into the seats. I could hear the flight attendants calling the captain and telling everyone to return to their seats and put their seatbelts back on. The plane continued shaking, and I heard someone behind me let out another scream. I attempted to crane my neck backwards, but on my way, caught sight of Jerry. He'd resumed the campaign to rid himself of the skin on his thumb. He seemingly didn't care any longer, and blood streaked his lips and stained his teeth.
Just a bad case of the nerves, he said.
I dropped back into my seat, listening to commotion break out in front of me and behind me. I heard screaming, mumbling, a baby started crying somewhere. The plane continued to dip and shake, and despite my curiosity as to what may be happening around me, fear rooted me to my seat. The lights flickered off again, leaving the plane dark for what felt like forever. The intercom fired up again, and the familiar voice of the captain filled the air, clearly audible despite the panicked, loud voices all around me.
Attention, folks. It looks like things are getting worse up here. I would ask that everyone remain in their seats and keep their seatbelts on to avoid any accidents. I would also ask that someone please, please, for the love of God, shut that baby up.
The last part. He said it like he was making any other announcement, calm and collected. I felt my chest tighten when I heard it. Something was very, very wrong. Jerry's mouth was caked in his blood now, most of the tip of his tongue mangled by his own teeth. He kept repeating the same phrase over and over again.
It's the bad case of the nerves.
The baby continued screaming somewhere off to my left. I sympathized. I wanted to scream myself. But the blonde girl rushed past me down the aisle and towards the bathroom. She was crying her eyes out. One of the flight attendants attempted to stop her, but she flew past and locked the door behind her. It seemed as if the other brawlers had returned to their seats, the instigator violently thrashing against his seatbelt. I was unsure if someone else had strapped him in or not. I hadn't been looking. The cabin lights were flickering on now rather than off. It seemed the cabin was filled with darkness. People would occasionally shout across the aisles to the other people or at the flight attendants. Nasty slurs that seemed to come out of nowhere and escalate in their viciousness.
Motherfucker. You stupid bitch. I'll fucking kill you.
Shut that goddamn baby up already.
I'm gonna rip your eyes out if you keep looking at me like that.
Other people just mumbled to themselves, repeating mantras like poor Jerry, his formerly friendly disposition replaced by a blank stare fixated on the seats in front of him. The plane continued its dance in the sky, shaking like a leaf in a hurricane. I stared out the window again. The shadows were back, more brazen about their trips above the clouds. There was three I could see, but still not make out clearly in the darkness. I strained my eyes, staring at them. There seems to be writhing shapes of darkness, unable to be touched by the moonlight, and I could have sworn that I saw wings. They dipped below the clouds yet again. I kept my face pressed against the glass. I was unsure if the actions of my fellow passengers were more or less unsettling than the idea that we were not alone in the sky. When I did finally return my attention to what was going on around me, convinced that the shadows were gone, I noticed the flight attendants had given up their meager attempts to control the passengers or keep them calm. I could only see one from where I was sitting, and she was sitting in one of the empty seats across the aisle from me. She was mumbling to herself in some nonsense language. Hearing it made my blood run cold. People were losing their minds, and the whole plane was going insane. The intercom came on again, and the sound of it crackling to life made me feel sick and fill me with terror.
Attention, passengers. We are not going to be okay. We are not going to make it. So fragile we are. Nothing in the face of the gods.
The captain's words were unsettling enough, but the way he sounded, his voice was too low, like he was winding down a dying watch.
You may as well just give up. Just tear each other apart for all I care. Just eat each other.
His voice was robotic, droning, and hopeless. As the intercom clicked off, the panic and insanity that erupted around me was nothing short of chaos.
It was as if this was all lying just beneath the surface of most of the passengers, and they were just awaiting the go-ahead to start brutalizing each other. The screams still ring in my ears. It was the sound of death reaping dozens of people at once. I shrink in my seat, hiding behind Jerry as best as I could. He sat still, blankly staring at the seat back in front of him, repeating those same words with blood dripping down his chin. The bone at the tip of his thumb exposed.
Just a bad case of the nerves.
In the distance, the screaming baby was finally silenced. An eruption of laughter came forth like a wave, followed by more screams. I heard more muttering and gibberish, like some alien language I could barely recognize as speech, followed by more screams of terror. I saw a few people like me, some trying to run for the restrooms to lock themselves in, others shrinking in their seats in an attempt to avoid madness. I watched as the flight attendant across from me was tackled into the aisle right next to me. She reached out her hand, her eyes begging me for help as she was pinned down by an aging Japanese businessman. He sunk nicotine-stained teeth into her throat, cutting off her screams, and tore loose as much flesh as he could fit in his mouth. They were literally eating each other. Another flash of green filled the cabin. The plane struck turbulence again. Some people screamed in absolute terror. Others cheered. I wasn't sure in that moment if the insane were praying this plane go down into the ocean, or the sane were. I looked away, back out the window. That window. I wish I hadn't. I wish I had just shut my eyes. Hell, I wish I had run into those aisles and let the lunatics tear me apart. Instead, I decided to, one more time, look out that damned window. I saw the things again.
this time not dipping below the clouds or disappearing from my sight. They were right next to the plane, keeping pace. The sounds around me seemed to vanish as I looked at the horrid things fly across us, writhing masses of shadow with wings like smoke. They were something that no logical mind could accept as real. Their shadow appendages reached out towards the damned airplane. The darkness seemed to part on the one closest to me, opening like into a great eye. It had three irises, three pupils, two on top and one on bottom. It glowed a maddening, sickly green color. Looking at it made my head hurt and filled me with a dread that was not even matched by the things going on around me. Another flash of green filled the cabin, then a horrid sound, like the roaring of some ancient demon sent forth to drag us all to hell. The plane continued to take a beating from the turbulence, the oxygen masks dropped, the lights continued to flicker, and baggage flew out from the compartments. I watched a red-haired man, his face covered in gore, flesh hanging from his teeth, take a large carry-on to his face. I heard his neck snap even in the chaos. Or at least, I thought I heard it. The plane dipped, sending bodies living and dead sprawling down the aisles. The drink carts slammed into whatever corpse blocked their way, sending small bottles flying everywhere. In the midst of the chaos, Jerry unbuckled his seatbelt and looked at me one last time.
Just a case of bad nerves.
He stood and walked into the madness. I saw someone leap over the seat in the dark as he stepped into the aisle and dragged him away into the maelstrom of violence. The plane seemed to be falling out of the sky. As it jostled me around, my face ended up once again pressed against the window. I heard the screams, laughter, and insane ramblings continue behind me as I stared out into the void-like eye of the creature that kept pace with the plane. The darkened cabin filled with a dim glow again. Quick green flashes lit up the night sky, briefly illuminating the writhing shadow creature that flew next to us, filling my ears with a horror that I either can't or won't recall. A sound like screeching metal reverberated in my ears, and then a screech of something terribly inhuman. I watched the thing suddenly break away from us and conceal themselves back down below the clouds, their writhing masses blackening into voids as they vanished into dark mist below us. The sound grew louder and louder, culminating into something that I thought at first was one of the engines exploding. I readied myself for the plane to just start plummeting out of the sky, or a giant hole to open up in its side and start engulfing seats in a wave of fire. Instead, the insanity that had filled the cabin for what felt like hours ended even more abruptly than it had arrived. The gibbering mad speaking, the screams of pure lunacy, the laughter of people going insane, all gone. Replacing them were calls for help, screams of terror, and people sobbing uncontrollably. Even the plane itself seemed to be loosed from the grip of whatever had taken hold of us. Starting to right itself, the cabin still shook, but no more than you would expect from normal turbulence. I heard the intercom come to life once more. This time I could barely make out what was being said of the sounds of the other passengers screaming for help or out in pain. It wasn't the voice of the captain anymore, though, and I shuddered to think of what happened to him. I guess the co-pilot had taken over the flight. He talked about getting us on the ground as soon as possible. He talked about tending to the wounded. He asked the flight attendants to sound off so he could know how much of his crew were alive or uninjured. I was frozen, catatonic. Once we finally landed in London, even as the plane filled with medics in hazmat suits, doctors, and cops, I sat there, incapable of moving from my seat, my seatbelt still firmly fastened, as if it were the only thing keeping me from plummeting into madness. When I was finally pulled from my seat, I screamed. It was all I could do. Just scream and scream and scream until I blacked out. I was questioned over and over again, always telling the same story, and always being told the same thing in response. Doctors, FBI, Interpol, all of them regurgitating the same bullshit. They said it had been a terrorist attack, that hallucinogenic drugs had been pumped into the plane cabin, that in order to keep the world from going into a panic about chemical attacks, they needed to keep this quiet. My duty as a patriot, my duty as a citizen of the world, I was enticed with money and threatened with violence or imprisonment. I knew it was bullshit. I've done my share of drugs. I know what it's like to hallucinate even unknowingly, People don't fucking eat each other. They don't murder each other. At least not in droves.
From what I heard, the captain tore his fucking eyes out. Then, that was the way it ended. So abruptly. If the bullshit line they were feeding me was true, it wouldn't have ended like that. That plane would have crashed. It would have ended up in the ocean, all passengers lost. They kept it quiet until now, though. Honestly, I just don't care anymore. I don't care about the payoffs or my duty as a patriot. I just want the nightmares to end. I don't want to hear the screams anymore. I want to sleep. Dear God, I want to sleep so badly. First, I need to tell you, though. I need people to know. There is something out there. Something above the clouds. I don't know what it is. My brain can hardly handle the memory of it even. And my words do no justice to the horror I witnessed. Before I leave this world, though, leave it at the end of a rope. I need to warn others. Watch the skies. And if you are flying, I wish you the best of luck.